Today, Shir is Masechta Yevamos, Daf Chaf Beis. We will begin on Daf Chaf Aleph on the Beis at the first wide line. In our previous Shir, the Gemara had taught us a Braisa. The Braisa spoke about the various women who are in the category of Shnius. As we said, the definition of Shnius, a woman who are usher with a Derabbanan, are erved to a man min derabbanan. Says the Gemara, Abaye achshir ba'eshes achi avi aviv. Some a maimer allowed one to marry the wife, the woman who was married to somebody's grandfather's brother, ba'chayis avi aviv, or to marry the sister of one's grandfather, which, as we're going to see soon in the Gemara, was actually a question. What is their status? Amle Rav Hillel Ravashi. Rav Hillel said to Ravashi, L'di chazile shnius. I saw the list of women who are considered shnius. Mabre de Ravna, that was compiled by Mabre de Ravna. V'ksivin shitzin l'sure. And there were 16 women listed on that list as women one may not marry. Says the Gemara, where do we get the 16 from? My love, doesn't that include Tamna the Masnisan? As we mentioned in our previous year, we learned the Braisa that lists 8 Shnias. So that's 8 of the 16. V'shis the Be'er Abchiyah. We're about to learn the list that Abchiyah included, which should be considered Shnias. So those 6 that are on that list are added to those 8 that we learned yesterday. V'hanach Tati. And these 2 that we just began discussing. And that's how we get to Shitzrei. We'll have 16. So if we're going to say that these 2 women that we just spoke about are Usur, so we will now understand how we have the number 16. But if we don't have that, if we don't include them, how will we get to the number 16? Says the Gemara L'Tameich. And he asked him, Rav Ashi said to Rav Hillel, L'Tameich, if your line of reasoning is correct, then actually shifts were having. There ought to be 17 on the list. Somebody, a woman who is married to one's mother's brother, maternal brother, the Peshtinan, that in the end of our previous year we determined that that woman is a Shnia. So why is she not included? So if you want to say everybody that we're discussing is included in the list of Shnias, so we really have 16, 17. Why are you asking that we have 16? Answers the Gemara, Holo Kasha. This last question is not a question, because Hanach Tati, the Damila Adodi, these 2 women that we just started speaking about an hour sheer, the woman who was married to one's grandfather's brother and the woman who is a sister to one's grandfather, they're both very similar. The Isser is because if we're going to allow them to get married, we may end up marrying aunts that we're not allowed to marry. And even though they're actually, as we explained, 2 different women, but Kechad Choshelu, they're considered as 1. For her, and therefore, if we'll consider the 2 women that we began our shir discussing, we'll have Shitzri, says the Gemara. V'ha, we have all these lists that say the various women in these lists are Usur. And what? How are you going to reconcile that? If you would have seen the list, and the list would say that the women that we're discussing today are Mutar, would that be conclusive to you? Did Mabarav the Reb Ayah explicitly say what the halach is? Hashanami, whether you say this list of people are Asur, or whether you say this list of people are Mutter, La Mabarav the Reb Nechosm Layu, we don't have any conclusive proof what is Mabarav the Ravna's real opinion. And therefore, since we don't really have their opinion, his opinion, we can't know what to do. But we did clearly indicate that Rav Chia added a number of women to the list of people who are Shnias. So now the Gemara begins to discuss exactly who are those women. Says the Maratana de Rav Chia, we learned in the Braisa in the Yeshiva Rav Chia, Shlishi Shebenoi. That means the daughter of his son's granddaughter, the grandson. That means Shlishi Shebenoi, his son's granddaughter. Shebebitai, that whether it's a granddaughter of his son from his son, or whether it's a granddaughter of his son from his daughter. Shebeben Ishtai, somebody, a woman who is the granddaughter of his wife. The Shebebas Ishtai, again, the granddaughter of his wife from her mother's side, from her son's side, or from her daughter's side, all of them are considered a shnia. Revi Shebechamev, the mother of the mother of his father-in-law, his father-in-law's grandmother, which would make his wife the fourth generation between this woman. A father-in-law's grandmother is his wife's great-grandmother, fourth generation. Or Betzad Chamoisai, the grandmother of his mother-in-law, which again is four generations from his wife, are also included Shnia. But Ravina makes an interesting observation as he's looking at this list and made this observation to Ravashi. And he says, Maishno Lamala, when we speak about generations going up, the grandmother of his father-in-law, the grandmother of his mother-in-law, there we consider Ishtai the first generation, and that's why we learned, we have a total of four. His wife, his father-in-law, his father-in-law's mother, and his father-in-law's grandmother is a total of four. But he asked him, Maishna Lamata, when we're looking at generations going down, the Loika Choshvelishta, we spoke about his wife's son's granddaughter, but we didn't count the wife when we're speaking, and that's why it's called a Shlishi. Answers the Gemara, Lamala, when we speak about generations going up, the Surah Mikach Ishtakasi, what generates the issue? The fact that this is his wife's great-grandmother. It's his wife's mother's father, grandmother, his wife's father's grandmother. So that's why it's important, Choshevlo, to mention the wife as well. The matter, but when we're speaking about generations, the Surah Lamikach Ishtakasi, it doesn't start because these people are related to his wife. The Torah itself says that one may not marry his granddaughter, his wife's granddaughter. So if that's the case, that it has nothing to do directly with them being related to the wife. And that's why, like a Choshevlo, she's not included in counting them. Ask the Gemara, but that isn't true. V'ben Ishtai, V'bas Ishtai, the Yisur Mikoyach Ishtakasi, they do come because they are related to his wife. And yet, when they're mentioned, Lechoshlu, we don't mention his wife. So yes, his own grandchildren, we could understand why his wife is not important, because the relation emanates from him. But when it's related, when the issue is women who are related to his wife, those women who are related to his wife, come from the wife. So if they come from the wife, why is the wife not counted when we speak about generations? Answers the Gemara, Aidi the Tana, because when we speak about relative of his, Shloisha Doris Lamata the day, so we're speaking about his relatives, there's no reason to mention his wife. V'loi Choshva, there's no reason to mention his wife. So that's why Tana Nam Shloisha Doris Lamata the day, even when there is a reason to mention her, Loi Choshva, she's not counted. So we just discussed the various shnias that Rav Chia included as women who are considered shnias. But as we discussed in our previous year, when we spoke about this concept in our previous year, we spoke that under certain circumstances, even though only certain women were included in the list of shnias, it really continues indefinitely. So ask the Gemara, Amalei Rav Ashi l'Rav Kahana, Shnius the Bay Rav Chia, the Shnius the Rav Chia included, Yeshlam Hefsek, is only the women that we mentioned included, or does it continue going up in the, when it's shnius in an upward direction, or does it continue going down when we speak about shnius in a downward direction? Ein lam sefek. Tashma, says the Gemara, we learned in our previous year, Dama Rav, arba nashim yesh lam seka, that there are four women who were mentioned in the Braisa yesterday who are shnius, and they don't go any further. Similarly, Vesulai, isn't Rav teaching us that only those four women that he identified in our previous year are in that group? Any other shnia continues going generation up and generation down. Says the Mara, that's not conclusive proof. Because Dilmiki Kama Rav, when Rav made that comment in the previous year, he was speaking about Haimas Nisa, when he was identifying all the shnias that are in that Braisa. So Rav mentioned which shnias are and which shnias are not go, yesh lehefsek and ein lehefsek. But Rav wasn't addressing Rav Chiya. When he would speak to Rav Chiya, it may be that we're not addressing that question. So now the Gemara is back to its question. Toshma, shlishi v'revi, the Brice, as we just explained, when it speaks about somebody's daughter or son's grandchildren, we spent it, they're called the Ravi. When we spoke about one's father-in-law or mother-in-law's grandparents, they were called the Ravi. Isn't that clearly indication? Shlishi Ravi in, we only go up to these generations, Tfei Loi, but we don't go further up or further down. Says the Gemara, that isn't necessarily what the Braisa meant. Dilma, what the Braisa meant was, we're identifying certain women, third generation going down, fourth generation going up, and it means that those women are shnius, but that iser continues mishlishi ve'elach mervi ve'elach. So we don't have an answer to this question. Says the Gemara, Amalei Ravel Rav Nachman, Chazma Haim Rabbanan, did you meet this Talmud Chacham? Dasman Ravel that came from Etzisrael, Vamar, and he reported to us. Vamar Ravel, they asked the following shaila in Etzisrael, Gazru shnius begerim, the concept of shnius, just like by gerim, there's a concept of Erva, is the concept of shnius also applicable by gerim? Or lo gazru shnius by gerim? Says the Gemara, Amalei Hashta, or ma esa erva guf, ma erva gufa. When we speak about the erva herself, ilav, if not that Chazal introduced the concept, shloyimru, that really, as we're going to be learning, the halacha is gershin is gayer, kikotin shenoy ladami. So really, a ger has no relatives. And since a ger has no relatives, there's no concept of erev at all. The only reason Chazal made the rule, ilav shlo yomru, that people shouldn't say, the gerim shouldn't think, bar mikdusha chamura. Of course, there are certain halachas that apply by non-Jews as well, hilchas erva. And now they're going to suggest that when we were non-Jews, we had to follow these rules. Now, we don't. So actually, that would represent that becoming Jewish means you're going mikedusha chamura lekedusha kala. But if not for that, like Gazru Mabaran, Rabbana would have never made this rule about shnius. They would have never made this rule. So shnius mebaye. So the whole reason it was instituted was only because of this consideration, says the Gemara. And since it was only instituted because of this consideration, we're not going to expand it any further than necessary, and shnius will not be included. So here, we're learning that the Isser is shloyim rabam mekedusha chamura lekedusha kala. So, Taisus asks that here, the Gemara is saying that we don't want Gerim to think that they entered into a lower level kedusha, where of course becoming Jewish represents a high level kedusha. But Taisus asks that later we're going to learn that the reason Chazal made these rules by Gerim is because we're concerned also lachlifa b'Yisrael, which that means we're concerned that if we're going to allow people who are brothers, sisters, by gerim, different relatives, to get married to each other, where by gerim it would technically be permissible, because gershin is guy kikotin shenoy ladami, we may end up making the same mistake and allow born Jews to make these mistakes. So what is the reason? So Taisus points out that the two reasons actually complement each other. He says the reason of lachlifa b'Yisrael is only a concern by relatives from the mother's side, but not by relatives from the father's side. So the Gemara is really saying, by relatives from the mother's side, the concern is also lachlifa b'Yisrael. By relatives from the father's side, the reason is shloyim rubanu mekedusha chamura lechedusha kala. The Ritva points out that even by ervis that are not osam deraisa, but ervis that according to secular law, you're not allowed to marry such a woman. So even if it's not one of the Zayin mitzvah b'nei noyach, but by secular law, you're not allowed to marry such a woman. So you're not allowed to marry that woman. That ger is not allowed to marry that woman by Jewish law, because the concept of shloyimru b'onam chamur l'kedusha kala applies no matter why the non-Jew is not allowed to marry this woman. So the Shev Shemaitz asks a question. The pasuk says that after Kabbalah Satayra, the pasuk says v'yishma Moshe's arm boicha l'mishbechaysav. He found the Klai Yisrael crying. Why were they crying? Because at Hatsinai, by Kabbalah Satayra, we received all the laws which speak to what is considered an erva, and that's why till now they said we were allowed to marry these women. And now we're not allowed to marry this woman, and that's why they were so upset. But asks the Shev Shematza, if we're learning Gershon is Gaika Kotnish Nailadami, and it was before the Gemara teaching us now that they made rule, Shloyam Bonam Kadusha Kamura Kadusha Kala. So they were allowed to marry anyone. No one was relative. So why were they upset? So Meshech Chachma explains they weren't upset for themselves, because that generation which became Klal Yisrael was allowed to marry anyone because they were all Gerim. And Gershon's guy, they had no relatives. Rather, explains the Meshech Chachma, they were upset that their children, the future generations, will be limited with whom they may marry with the Hilchas Erva. But then he quotes a Maral. He says there's two types of Gerim. He says somebody who accepts Geris upon themselves. So there we have the rule, as we are discussing, of Gershon's guy Kikot Shnoi L'dami. However, says the Maral, somebody who has the category that became a Ger because he was forced to become a Ger, as we know the Gemara Masechta Shabbos says, Kof Aleim Har Kegigas, they were forced to be Mekabel Torah. Such, the rule of Gershon's guy Kikot Shnoi L'dami doesn't apply to a Ger that was obligated to become a Ger. Then I saw another pshat from Rav Tali Trop. Rav Tali Trop goes back to a famous question that the Achroyim discuss. What was the status of Klal Yisrael before they received the Torah? Does that mean there was no such a thing as Klal Yisrael until Kabbalah Satayrah? Or is there Klal Yisrael already before Kabbalah Satayrah, but by Kabbalah Satayrah they added to their status because they have the Torah. Says Rav Naftali Trop, if we'll say that the Gerim from Kabbalah Satayra wasn't that they weren't Yisrael before, so then, it says Rav Naftali, we're able to answer the Shev Shematza question very well. Because when do we say Gershon is Gai Kikotin Shnoi L'dami? Somebody who comes from a status of completely being non-Jewish and now becomes Jewish. But the generation that was Mekabel the Torah were already somewhat part of Klal Yisrael. Since they were already somewhat part of Klal Yisrael, there we don't say Gershon's guy called Shnoi L'dami. They're of course considered Klal Yisrael from before. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, comments Rav Nachman, Gerim, since we began discussing concepts about Gerim, I want to say some halacha. The halacha is Achim Menaim Lo Yidu. You have two brothers who are biological brothers, but they both became Gerim. They should not say Eidus together. V'me'idu, Eidusun Eidus. Their Eidus is valid. Achim and Av Me'idim L'chatchila. But that's only by maternal brothers. But paternal brothers, since they're not really so noticeably noticeable, then they could say Eidus together. maternal brothers could say Eidus together. But ask the Gemara, Omaishnam Arayis. We just learned when it comes to Hilchas Arayis, we are being machmer that a Gersh and his Geyer should have not be allowed to marry an Erva. And why by Eidus are you being lenient? Answers the Gemara. Erva l'chol mesura. Everybody gets married. And people will get confused. People will think they came in Kedusha Kala, but Kedusha Chamur l'Kedusha Kala. But when we speak about Eidus, Eidus is offered in a Bezdin. Eidus, l'Bezdin Mesura. Eidus is given in a Bezdin. And a Bezdin knows that Gershon's guy can cut Shnoi L'Dami, and therefore we won't have this problem. So there's, of course, a very obvious question. The Gemara keeps on using the concept of Gershon's guy can cut Shnoi L'Dami. But why do we say Gershon's Geyer? A Ger doesn't become a Ger. A Ger, it should be say Goyshen is Geyer, a non-Jew that became a Ger. So the Pesach Hanayim answers that when you see an individual become a Ger, you need to know that he has a neshama that's connected to Klal Yisrael. He had a neshama that was already by Har Sinai when we became Klal Yisrael. So it's not just an individual who has no connection to Klal Yisrael. By indicating Gershon is Geyer, that's what we're saying is that this person is already part of Klal Yisrael. He's a Gershon Geyer. So Al Gemara is teaching us that Midaraisa, two brothers who became Gerim together, we should allow them to say Eidus together. The only reason we don't allow them to say Eidus together is for the reason, as we're learning in Al Gemara, there's a concern of Osilach Lufei, there's a concern of people are going to say Barim Kedusha Chamura LeKedusha Kala. So the question is, where do we know that Gershon is Gai Kekot Shnoi L'Dami? This is such an important concept, the basis of this entire piece of Gemara we just learned. From where do we know it? The Baal Turim says that the Pasuk says Ger Yosem. So usually we learn Ger Tama Yosem. But the Chasam Sofer, the Baal Turim says that the Torah is teaching us that every Ger is considered a Yosem. Why is every Ger considered a Yosem? Because Gershon is Geyer Kekot Shnoi L'Dami. The Meshech Chochma says, it goes back to something that we discussed earlier. The Pasuk says, after Kabbalah Satorah, that Moshe Rabbeinu told them, Shvu Lechem L'Aleichem, go back home. Now, ask the Meshech Chochma, weren't many of them married to relatives that a Jew may not marry, be married to? So how could they go back to those wives? Says the Meshech Chochma, the Gershon is Geyer Kekot Shnoi L'Dami. So even if they were related to women whom they really ought not to marry as Jews, but since they all became Gerim now, that's Raya, the Gershon is Gai Kekot Shnoi L'Dami. Of course, there's a very interesting question. If we're saying that Gershon is Geyer Kekot Shnoi L'Dami, and the halacha is that one is not related to those individuals, what would be the halacha? Does a Ger have to show Kibbutz of aim to his biological parents? If we're saying Gershon is Geyer Kekot Shnoi L'Dami, they're not his parents. Does he have to show cover to them? So Rav Moshe in the Shas HaTshuvah Sigrus Moshe, Yoridei Chelik Bei Simen Kuf Lamed, discusses exactly that question. Says there was a woman who became a Geyoris, and she's living a Jewish life. She's no longer associated that much with a non-Jewish family. And she got a message that her mother, her biological mother, is not well. And she would like her and her children, that means her grandchildren, to come visit her. And Rav Moshe paskens that one has to show respect to his biological parents, even though he or she are Jewish, and his parents are not Jewish. Of course, Rav Moshe points out that the much must be taken into consideration when we have this conversation. He says, we need to understand that they should not socialize on a regular basis, because socializing on a regular basis can mean that she, and certainly her children, will get attracted to maybe not live a Jewish life. But if done with intelligence and done with the right way, it certainly should be done. Says the Gemara, Mi sheyesh lo'ach mikol makom, if somebody has a brother, even if the brother is a mamzer, Zoykik as Eishes Achiv. The halacha is that if he dies without children, his wife is going to have to have Yibum. Achiv ulchal davar. A brother is a brother, even if the brother is a mamzer. Chutz mishiyesh le'achman ashifchum and averis kechavim. If somebody shares a father, but he doesn't share a mother, and the mother of his brother is a non-Jewish woman or a shifcha, that individual is not considered Jewish. Since that individual is not considered Jewish, so they're not considered brothers. Mi shiyesh lo ben mikamakim. If somebody had a son, even if the son is a mamzer, paiteh yisavim min yibum. As we keep on repeating, when is there a halach of yibum? The halach of yibum applies if one dies without children. But as soon as this individual has children, even though the child that he has is a mamzer, that means that he's not an individual without children, and his wife won't have yibum. Moreover, chayav makasoy, the halach is that if somebody hits a parent, he's chayav misa. Even this child, who's a mamzer, if he hits his parent, he's chayav misa. Al kolosoy, or similarly, the halach is that if he curses his parent, then the same halach applies. Chutz mi'esh leben min ha-shifcha min ha-verz kachavim, as we just learned, the child of a shifcha of ha-verz kachavim is not considered a child. Says the Meretz Chayis, one of the reasons that, as we learn this Masechta, we know that b'zman hazeh we perform chalitza and not yibum, even though yibum is a much higher level of performance in the mitzvah, maybe because nowadays we have to be concerned that maybe this individual who died had a son who was a mamzer. And if he had a son who's a mamzer, his brother marrying his wife is a very serious issur of eishes ach. And therefore, that's one of the reasons, says the Meretz Chayis, we started doing yibum only chalitza. The Yerushalmi has a question. Here we're saying that we just learned if somebody has a son, even if the son is a mamzer, that means he has a son. The question is, the one fulfilled the mitzvah of pura revivia by having a son who's a mamzer. The opinion of the Ramban, the Rashba, and the Ritva is that even having a child who's a mamzer is a fulfillment of the mitzvah pura revivia. However, the Rif and the Rambam seem to hold that when one has a child who's a mamzer, you don't fulfill with that child the mitzvah pura revivia. And the Rama seems to follow the opinion that even with a child that's a mamzer, you're fulfilling the mitzvah pura revivia. The question is that our Mishnah said that a child born to a shifcha is not considered a child. The question is not considered a Jew. That is there a difference, the Beit the Rishonim, if the shifcha who had the child is the shifcha of my shifcha? That means if I have a shifcha and I have an ivri and I pair them together, the child is also going to not be considered Jewish, or only if it's a shifcha that I don't in, that as long as she's a shifcha, her child is not considered Jewish. It's actually a machlokes rishonim. The Rambam's opinion is it doesn't make a difference who owns the shifcha. A child born to a shifcha is not considered a shifcha, is not considered Jewish. The Ravid differentiates between a shifcha that I own and another shifcha. And the Ravid svara is because a shifcha that I own, I have the ability and the right to free her. So since I have the ability and the right to free her, so she's not really considered a shifcha, and a child will be considered a full-fledged Jew. We learned in the Mishnah, mikamakim. Any type of brother is considered a brother, and there's a chiyuv of yibum. Ask the Gemara l'suyamai, what does the Mishnah mean to teach us with this? Amar Rabbi Yehuda l'suyam mamzer, that if one has a brother who's a mamzer, it's considered as if he has a brother. Pshita, ask the Gemara, why do we need to learn this? Achavu, isn't he considered a brother? Answers the Gemara, Ma'adatayim leila achva achva b'nei Yaakov. The watch serve as the model of a brother, the b'nei Yaakov. And when we speak about the b'nei Yaakov, ma'ala halon, certainly the children of Yaakov were all k'sherim v'loi psulim. They were certainly not psulim. Afkan k'sherim v'loi psulim. They're only brothers who are kosher Jews, not a mamzer, is considered a brother, k'mashmalon. But the question that the Rishonim ask is that Yaakov Avinu actually married two sisters. And since Yaakov Avinu married two sisters, maybe his children should be considered mamzerim. So the Ramban says that even though Chazal teach us that Dav Ovois were Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula, that was only in Eretz Yisrael. And since the time of the Ovois was the time before Matan Torah, so they were allowed to be married to two sisters, and therefore their children are not considered mamzerim. And in fact, says the Ramban, that's why Rachel Imenu died as soon as they came into Eretz Yisrael. Because at that point, Yaakov Avinu was no longer allowed to be married to two sisters. And he says even more, why was it Rachel that died, not Leah? So he explains, because Yaakov Avinu married Rachel after he married Leah. So the Avera, when he married Leah, he didn't do any Avera. He only did an Avera when he married Rachel. And that's why Rachel was taken when they entered Eretz Yisrael, says the Gemara. But Ema Hachinami, so maybe indeed we should learn from the Bnei Yaakov. And maybe the halacha should be that a brother who's a mamzer is not considered a brother who could be Yibam. Answers the Gemara, Kivin Delin Yibam, Maftipater, since as we continue learning in our Mishnah, that if somebody has a son who's a mamzer, it absolves his father's wife from needing Yibam. So they travel together, Miskik Nami Zokik, he's the individual who has to do Yibam as well. We said, furthermore, v'achavu l'chol dava. A mamzer is considered a full-fledged brother. Ask the Gemara, l'may hechasa, what is this relevant to? L'yarshay. If somebody dies without any children, the halacha is that his brother is his yorish. So says our Gemara that a mamzer is considered a brother that he yarshins. So the question is that the Aruch HaNer answers that why should a mamzer have the right to yarshin a father? Why should we not be concerned that just like his mother had an adulterous relationship with his father, maybe his mother had an adulterous relationship with someone else, and he's not that man's son? So the Aruch HaNer explains that the Torah says Aloch of Yaker. The Torah gives the right to a father to identify who is his son. And that right that the father has to identify who is the son is a right that is absolute, even if there's a question in that right. But other Achorim say that maybe a mamzer indeed should not yarshin a father. And the only time we're saying that a mamzer has a right to yarshin his father is if he took his share forcibly. Now we can't take it away from him because he's claiming he deserves it. Another question that the Rishonim discuss, if the Mamzer is the firstborn child, does the Mamzer get Pishnayim? So the Rambam says that the halacha that a Bechor gets a double portion applies to a Mamzer as well as to any other child, and that is the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. That the Shulchan Aruch is teaching us, and the Lecha Mishnah says, the basis for this is our Gemara, that is Yarsha L'chol Dover. When we say that he's Yarsha L'chol Dover, it means that he's a full-fledged Yarish, and he gets a double share like any Bechor will get. The Tamaloi, the halacha is that a Kayin is supposed to become Tamei to a parent, to a brother. A brother who's a Mamzer is also a Kayin, his brother becomes Tamei to him. Ask the Gemara, Pshita, Achavu. The Torah says that he's a brother, and the Torah tells Kohanim to get Tamei to brothers. Even though actually there's a Machloikis in Masech the Saita and Masech the Zvachim, when the Torah says that a Kohen is allowed to get Tamei to one of these close relatives, is it Pshat that he's allowed to get Tamei, or is it Pshat that he must get Tamei? And the Shulchan Aruch and Yeridei Simen Shin Ayin Gimel Sif Gimel Paskins, it's not only something that they're allowed to do, it's something that they're obligated to do. So ask the Gemara Pshita, Achavu, if we're learning in our Shia that he's a brother, so of course he becomes Tamei and Yashins. Answers the Gemara, Sakadat Chamina, Hayavu Ksiv, Ki Im L'Sher Karvalov, V'Amar L'Sher is a Ishtai, the chair is a wife. And the Pasuk also says, that somebody that a Kohen was not allowed to marry, he doesn't become Tamehu. From there we learn, sometimes a husband
a kohen, a husband who's the husband, does become tamei. V'yesh baal she'erim tamei. Sometimes the husband who's the kohen doesn't come with tamei. Hakeit said, mam tamu l'ishtik she'era. He's allowed to become tamei when his wife is a woman that he was allowed to marry. V'yesh tamu l'ishtik psul, but he's not allowed to become tamei to a wife that he's not allowed to marry. So maybe we would think here too, hachet nami metamu lach kosher, the kohen becomes tamei to the ach who's a kosher person, but not v'yesh tamu l'ach psul, a mamzer, kamash malon. Answers the Gemara, but why? Maybe just like we're saying that a kohen isn't supposed to become tamei to wife to whom he's not supposed to be married, maybe the halacha should be regarding an ach whose brother is a mamzer. Answers the Gemara, hasam lafuki kaimi. A kohen who's married to a woman who he wasn't supposed to marry, they're supposed to get divorced. So that's why the marriage is not really considered a marriage. Hacha, but in this case, achavu. It's his brother, and that nothing will ever change, and that's why you can't compare it to halachas. Chutz, v'mish yesh le'ach min ha'shivchem v'veretz k'chavim. My tama, why is they not considered Jews? Amakra, yishivel yadeh atil adonah. The Torah says that the child of the shivcha belongs to the adon. He's not considered a child, of a Jewish child. Says the Kli Yoker, that the halacha is that an owner could give an Eved Ivri, a Shivcha to marry, only in a case where he is already married and has children anyway. Because, explains the Kli Yoker, if this man already has a wife and children, he has fulfilled the mitzvah peri riviyah. But if he doesn't have a wife and child, and he gets connected to this wife who is a Shivcha, and as we're learning now, the children of a Shivcha are not considered his Jewish children, so that may cause that he won't fulfill the mitzvah peri riviyah. So to avoid that, the halacha is that he's not allowed to get married to the shivcha unless he already was fulfilled the mitzvah of peri riviyah with his Jewish wife. Says the Gemara, Misha Yeshloi ben mikamakim, if somebody has any type of son, Peter, his wife, is not a candidate for Yivim. Says the Gemara, mikamakim asuyimai. What does the Mishnah mean with mikamakim? Amar Yudel asuyimamzer. If somebody has a child who's a mamzer, his wife will not have to have Yivim. My tama. Says the Gemara Dama Kura, the Pasuk says, Ben Einloi. The Pasuk could have said the word Ein without the Yud. Why did the Torah add the word Yud? Einalov. Examine this person who died. And if he has any type of son, then his son, then he's not, his wife doesn't have to have Yibam. Chayva Makasai. We learned if the Mamzer hits his father, he's Chayv. But ask the Gemara, Amai, why is that the Halacha? Krikan, shouldn't this be what the Torah says? The nice be'amchalay sar. The only time we have this issue is ba'isa masa amcha, when the father acts appropriately. So here, the father who fathered a mamzer is certainly not an individual who's acting appropriately. So why is the son chay for hitting him? Answers the Gemara, kodam rapapa, mishmed rapapa, ba'isa tshuva. As he said, he did tshuva, hachinayim b'asa tshuva, and therefore it's also to hit him. Ask the Gemara, v'hai bar tshuva hu? Somebody who had a mamzer is an individual who could do tshuva. V'tanan shimon ben asya oimer, the Gemara mesat chagiga, dav tesam and aleph, taught us, eizu mu'uvas lo yuchel iskoin, what is considered a sin that has no repair? Says the Gemara, zah ba'al ever, v'ayil men a mamzer. So how can you say that this tshuva? Hashtamiya, answers the Gemara, at this point he did tshuva, and since at this point he did tshuva, that's all we need to take into consideration. So there's a very big machlokes rishonim how to understand this Gemara. Tosfos says that tshuva has the ability to eradicate any aveira. So when the Gemara says that having a mamzer is muvash and yachal iskoin, that means once the mamzer is born, this mamzer is born, we can't undo that. But even though we can't undo that, he could do tshuva. Rashi, however, Masechta Chagiga, says that the tshuva is not totally effective because there is a mamzer here. It's only effective to the degree that he's considered an oisa masa amcha. Rabbi Chanan says a different pshat, that when somebody does an aveira and he does tshuva, so the power of tshuva is that not only does tshuva eradicate the aveira, but it eradicates the aveira retroactively. Says Rabbi Chanan, that by somebody who has a mamzer, even though he did tshuva, the tshuva doesn't have the ability to eradicate as if the aveira never happened. But it's considered that he still did tshuva. But then Rabbi Chanan asks a question. Maybe this person had a bad day, and he in fact had relations with a woman that he wasn't supposed to have relations with. But it was a shaygig. So because of that, he's already called Eina Oysa Masa Amcha. So the Rosh Hashanah says a very powerful word. We have this conception that if somebody does an Aveira b'shoigig, it's as if he didn't do an Aveira. Says the Rosh Hashanah, Chas Shalom, if somebody did an Aveira, it's considered an Aveira even when he did a b'shoigig. It's not to the same degree as somebody who did an Aveira b'mezid. But it's certainly considered an Aveira. And the person who did such an Aveira is considered Eina Oysa Masa Amcha. Says the Maratona Abana Baal HaChoysoi, if somebody has relations with a sister, Vihi Bas Eishes Oviv, who's also the daughter of his father's wife, so she's a sister, and she's the father's wife's daughter, Chayiv Vishim HaChoysoi, there are two Isurim that will be violated here. This sir, one may not have relations with a sister, Umeshum Bas Eishes Oviv. Rabbi Yehuda ben Omer, Eina Chayiv El Meshim HaChoys Bavad, the only Isser will be a Choysoi V'loimim Nei Bas Eishes Ovav. Says the Mamai Tamai Derbonis, we have this fundamental Machloikis, a sister who's born from your father's wife, from a mother, will she have one Isser or two Isser? Says the Gemara, Mai Tamai Derbonis that say there are two Isser involved. Amri, Derbonis comment. The Torah says that you're not allowed to have relations with your sister. Makes no difference how she was born, through marriage or not through marriage. Then the pasuk says, "Lomeli." Why do the Torah have to say that? She's the daughter of your father's wife. So why does the Torah have to mention it? To teach us the Detur Surim. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda disagrees. To teach us the pasuk says, to teach us that, because in that pasuk it said, so we know it's your system. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda only sister. Rabbanan. So the word achoyschahi is a very strong indication that she's only also because of achoyscha, not for any other issa. So ask the Gemara Banan, Hay achoyschahi, my avdalei, what did I do with that? Nibaylei, lechayvei, alachoyse bas oviv basimai. If you have a sister that you share a father and a mother with, the pasuk is teaching us is that that's considered a sister. Because if not, because the Torah only speaks about a sister from the father. Loimer, so now the question is, if somebody is a sister from one parent, the Torah calls her a sister. So certainly if you're a sister from both parents, she ought to be considered a sister. Why do we need a pasuk? To teach us, Loimash emas hiram anadin. Because the Torah doesn't allow us to build a iser, a lav, based on logic. And that's why the Torah had to say it. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, if that's all the Torah was coming to teach us, that a sister from a mother and a father is a sister, the Torah should have just said the extra word achoyscha. He lomeli. Why did the Torah add the word achoyscha? Lomeli. Mishem achoyscha atem chayv to teach us that she's a sister. V'yatem chayv mishem ba'aseh shesoviv. The Rabbanan, avakav deksiv achoyscha, itzruchi. Shloi toime ba'alma masir min adin. You shouldn't say, normally we can learn through a Kavu Chayma. V'chi Teima, and if that's going to be the case, a Choyscha, the Kos Rachman Alamali, so why would we need a Choyscha? Because Milsa, that's the Kavu Chayma, the Torah mentioned it, and in order to not make that kind of mistake, says the Gemara, a Choyscha, and the Torah writes, he, to say, here where the Torah said it, that's the Alocha. Anywhere else, we don't make Alocha based on a kavachayim, we don't institute a lav. So the question is, why and then is there halacha that why does the Gemara say milsa daas v'kavachayim tarach v'kasul akra? A kavachayim we know is one of the Shloshes Midras Midos Shatar in the Dresh Ben. So Kavachayim is fantastic. So some Achroinim explain that a Kavachayim is based on logic. And anything that's based on logic is something that could be refuted. So in order to show that, so in order to make sure that it won't ever be refuted, it's mentioned in the Pasuk. The B'nai Soscher in his Sefer Agra the Perka, Agra the Kala, has a different approach. He says, the Torah wants to show us that human logic is not the way we follow, we base halacha on. Halacha is not based on human logic. Halacha is based on the what it says in the Pasuk. So Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, how does Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, why doesn't he agree with the Chachamim? Says the Gemara, Im Kain, if they were correct, the Pasuk should have said the din of Achoyscha when it speaks about Achoyscha Bas Aviv. Why does the Torah have to say, the fact that the Torah said the din of Achoyscha together with the din of Bas Eishes Aviv, that the Torah is coming to teach us that somebody who has relations with his sister is only going to be also because of Achoyscha and not because Bas Eishes Aviv.